Treasure, as they said.
Thank you very much. I will be very
controversial. Okay.
That it is very controversial, but there is nobody here to oppose because there are no DISC people here. Right? And Craig was supposed to be here, and he said he's very interested in my talk. But I will say good things about him, so it's not controversial.
Okay.
But there are people who are not here, and they won't like it. But I will send them emails to look at my presentation. But now seriously, I will be short because I have nothing to say. And I have nothing to say because I didn't volunteer for that. It was asked by Roseanne to have a look at the DISC in Supersoft Sources because they are supposed to be, for me less and less, but progenitors of Supernovae type 1a. And we have to know their properties. And apparently, she told me the properties of the DISC in the system are not really well known. So I had a look in the literature, and I agreed. I found one old paper, sort of oldish paper, by Roseanne and Bob Popham, but Bob left the field and never published. He published only some results, but the description of what are the equations, what are the results, it's so short that I was just surprised by the equations he was using. I will explain why, but there are some results. I will show one. And I had other papers by people I won't mention from a distant country. And I think they are interesting, but they are so unrealistic that it's simply mind-boggling. Like, the result is that in supersoft sources, the mass transfer rate is 10 to the minus 5 solar mass per year from a 0.5 solar mass secondary or things like that. To fit the DISC, what they do is it is. So I was pleased to see, reading all that in fact, I and my collaborators, we have tools to solve most of the problems. I simply didn't know that supersoft sources are interesting. I mean, listening to you both, maybe they are not, but I will do it anyway. So it is widely believed, as I put here, that the DISC in those sources are different from the usual DISC in cataclysm variables or let's say in low mass X-ray binaries in the outer parts. The main reasons are supposed to be the very high accretion rate, strong X-ray irradiation by the burning white dwarf, which is unusual because usually the irradiation comes from accretion itself, and observation should be an S here, suggests obscuring wall at the outer disk rim and a flaring disk. I will address these three points in my talk. So this is a better version of this figure that Roseanne showed last week. I mean, you can see it. And this is a fit to the optical spectrum of several supersoft sources that I mentioned here, assuming a spectrum of a white dwarf, which is this part, of a irradiated disk, which would be this one, the continuous line, and then a flared irradiated accretion disk, which is this one. Okay, it is. You see that there is the problem seems to be, in fact, in infrared, with representing and reproducing the spectrum. Now, I read what I understand from this paper that Bob was using the so-called slim accretion disk model.
Well, optical, that's only one micron.
Yeah, I mean optical. This is not X-ray. Okay. The problem is not really from the central body, but optical in this very general sense that I'm using here as an X-ray person. So Bob was using the slim disk model, which of course I'm very pleased because every time somebody uses my citation count goes on, but I don't think it is justified. I mean, I don't think they did it to increase my citation rate. So I just had a look. Is it really necessary to use, you know, such things that are in fact used on usually when you accrete on a black hole? And I had a look. I Okay, the mass transfer are in 10 minus 7 solar mass per year, or larger, which I transferred into I would say units that I use in my work on accretion disk, and compared to a maximum dwarf nova, I didn't compare it to so-called nova likes. It is not so different. I mean, it's not orders of magnitude. It's just comparable. And then it is claimed, it's very funny, it's claimed that the accretion rate is Eddington. But of course, the accretion rate has no meaning because what is the meaning is the luminosity. The accretion luminosity, of course, it is Eddington luminosity, but it is coming from burning and not from accretion. What comes from accretion, the accretion luminosity is 10 to the 36, which of course is high for a normal white dwarf, but it's not so abnormal, and it is just a percent of Eddington luminosity. Of course, Eddington luminosity might not be relevant. You have to know what is the opacity. But at this high temperature, I don't think the difference will be so high. But saying that there is high accretion rate, so we have to use, you know, slim disk, etc. It makes a I don't see the reason to do that. And one can use the normal equations for an accretion disk, and also you can just measure the what is important in the slim disk format. This is the advection of energy. Okay, this is the optical and signal version of the ADAPS that you are maybe more familiar with. But there is the same thing, and you can calculate this is the advectic flux, and this is the radial radiative flux, and the what is important is proportional to the square of the aspect ratio. Sorry, not the aspect ratio, but the scale height over the radius. But so I took the worst case, you know, the Shakura Sunyaev radiative dominating the thickest one, and you get a reservoir of squared that is just, you know, less than a percent. So I don't see any reason to be bothered with slim disk equations, etc. So what can we do? There are equations that have been for irradiated, highly accreting, but normal disks, just to show that they exist. They are time dependent, but of course in this case, but not necessarily, because we saw that there are sometimes light curves that are not stationary, so one can keep the time dependence in the second. But this is the energy equation in which you have the viscous heating, the radiative cooling. You have also the heating what is done in the hotspot by the interaction of the stream with the outer rich rim of the disk, and also the radial relative flux. So all this supposed to be important in the disk is in this framework there's a series of papers that have been written on this. You could be surprised that there is no irradiation. This is the vertical. One solves, one decouples the vertical structure from the radial structure as long as the disk is not too thick. This is quite a good approximation. If it is slim, one uses some not very 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 good approximation, but it seems to work. And in fact, irradiation comes only as the boundary condition at the photosphere. Most of the, except for us, most of the people are using as the height of the disk at which the irradiation energy is deposited, the scale height. But the radiation has nothing to do with the scale height. It's deposited at the photosphere. And the photosphere can be few times the H over R, and there are some comic papers deducing the values of alpha, but it's okay, there's nobody here, so that I could mention some names, but I won't. Sorry? it's public. It's. Anyway, so there's also was for a long time a misunderstanding, despite of a paper by Craig Wheeler and collaborators, and in fact by the paper Shakura and Sunyaev some 40 years ago, that people were quite often and sometimes still assuming that if the irradiated flux is larger than the viscous flux, then they take isothermal disk, you don't solve for the structure. This is total nonsense. The disk will be isothermal only if the irradiation flux divided by the total optical depth is bigger than the viscous flux. And this happens not quite often in reality, certainly not in supersoft sources. Disk shape. So we can solve, and we have some solutions that are for accretion array that are very close to the one we are interested in, and this is the shape of the disk. Okay, this is the famous self shading, etc. I won't go into details. What is important that it doesn't seem to be to look very flared when you solve for an irradiated disk. Okay, this is the non-irradiated, this is the irradiated disk. This is the radiation temperature. So these results are for a point source, which is interesting in the case of supersoft sources, that you have sort of two way of describing the irradiation. One is the nearby irradiation by an extended source, which is the white dwarf, and then if the orbital period or the extent of the binary allows, you have the distant part that can be probably better described as a point source. So this has to be done, because then there are not many sources in which the both nearby and far away irradiation are important. So from this point of view, it is pure geometry, of course, but this is different from what has been done for dwarf novae, in which is only the nearby irradiation, or for the low-mass X-ray binary. But there's nothing fundamentally difficult in it. And then the last, almost finished, is the light curve that are suggesting that there's something very, very very high large structure at the outer edge of the rim. So this has been shown by Ed last week, and of course it's very funny because it looks very similar to light curves of X-ray binaries. The problem is not in X-rays, but in optical. And so this is the system, and you see this already. There are models by Susan Schandl and the Myers from the Max Planck, and here will be once more controversial about the Max Planck. So the models that are in fact inspired by what is done in low mass X-ray binaries suggest such a structure of the disk. To explain the light curve, this is Cal 87, this is another source. You have this enormous structure here. Now, of course, this is very funny, because if you remember what Isaac Newton discovered years ago, such orbits don't exist, of course. So this must be, it cannot be a disk. It must be a structure with a very high pressure gradient, etc. This has been very, very sort of fashionable in the 70s, and somehow, I don't know, people don't talk more about it, but and usually people were saying, this is what observations show. And I remember Jim Pringle telling one of the famous X-ray astronomers, but our colleague from Cambridge, he's shown that this is impossible. But the observer didn't know who was the colleague, so there was no more discussion. Of course, he knew that Newton was in Cambridge, but probably he didn't realize that there are not such orbits, above the. Just to tell you the whole story. So this is the inspiration. This is how this light curves are.
Couldn't you get this kind of thing in a dynamical way with some kind of outflow?
If it is in one, okay. But this is precisely the problem. So. This is precisely the problem, what is happening at the outer edge of the disk, and it is an interesting subject in itself. And this model assumes somehow that all the streams get stopped at the outer edge, builds a structure, and the structure somehow extends. This is the problem, okay, that it extends to the whole extent of the disk. In the context of X-ray binaries, these people here found a alternative to that, to explain the light curves. And this was observing in on the paper, that the flow when it arrives, the stream it arrives, it can overflow the disk. And for you, Bob, it above and below, from both sides, usually. And I don't know, yeah, okay. And then there is a structure from here that's it's calculated, you know, there's a corona, the stream overflows, and in fact it gives very good fit to most of the light curves, and also it explains the properties of the observed spectra. So it became very popular, not everybody agrees with that. The problem is, this is one of the light curves in X-rays in this case. The problem is I didn't have time to check, because it's not so simple, at least for me, to see if looking from here and at the optical, this structure can, this overflow can explain and avoid the problem of the skyscrapers. And to show you that there's something very interesting in this problem. Most of the simulation show that there is an overflow. Okay, the stream hits the outer edge, and there is an overflow. This may be not clear from here, but from here it is absolutely clear that there is an overflow. This is a cut along the stream. Okay, so that's why there is also a flow in the. It seems in the disk, but it's not in the disk. It is along the stream. So it's always beautiful, and it could explain things. It's a completely different problem from the other. The problem is, and you can ask him because he'll be here, but they claim that there's something very strange. Tom Marsh is a very, very, very good observer, I respect and believe on most things he discovered. He said that in the quiescent dwarf nova, quiescent, in which there's almost no disk left, etc., there's no sign of overflow. But however, the H over R in a dwarf nova, quiescent dwarf nova, is of this value. So it is there is something strange here, both in observation and in simulations. And I think it's good that supersoft sources are also related to this problem, because it will motivate people to do more observation. Maybe, I don't know if more simulations are needed. Conclusion: this can be and will be, this is a promise, I will write it in my report, so that I'm saying to the coordinator that fantastic, once more I come back from Santa Barbara with a list of papers that I'm going to write and put the famous number. this is what counts. The outer rim is probably is non-trivial and controversial, and of course I didn't mention one extremely important problem is winds from disks, which is a general problem, but of course even with a successful resolution of this problem, it will be not satisfactory without the last one. Thank you very much.
Specifically because the radiation that would be incident from the dwarf is so highly ionizing, and it doesn't penetrate very deeply at all. So you're just looking at what it's doing to it, immediately to a thin layer.
You mean deeply into this?
Well, wherever it impacts, it's not going to make it very far into that.
Yeah, it's not going to. Okay, no, sorry, I said you said that. Of course, yeah.
Okay. So, is it fundamentally different in any way because of the prospect that this radiation can drive a wind? What do you think about the driving of this radiation?
This is a very, very old problem and very controversial. I remember a paper by Mitch Begelman and two other people, and they claim that for the X-ray binary, the winds evaporate the whole disk and stop accretion, for example. And then some other people looked at that and found another result, and now I think nobody really works on this. So I have no answer to that. I remember from the old days, it's better a subject not to touch, but I mean, now you force me, so I will have to get back, because it's one of these subjects that the physics seems to be simple, okay? It's irradiation, gas, you know, ionization, as you said, so gravitation. And what's the problem? But if you look at the details, you see that it's one of this very unpleasant problems. So I prefer this without this. But,
okay.
No, no, I will be forced. Yeah, of course.
What about magnetic fields? Your disks.
Anyway, thank you for the. Sorry, you're the.
What about magnetic fields in your disks? If you put some magnetic fields in?
Yeah, okay. If I put some magnetic fields, of course, it depends. You mean large scale magnetic fields?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it. Okay, this is also controversial, okay?
Because, yeah, sure.
Because
it may be an important effect.
It could be an important effect, and this is something that is really very hard, because if you have a large scale magnetic field, it's of course there's the famous models of winds from disk, the Blanford and Payne model, for example, and for it to generate a disk, you need a critical angle. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you have MRI driving this, as you believe. Now, what is this model of this assumption that you have an accretion disk and a magnetic field going this,
right.
Valid or not? Mm-hmm. And I know two answers. One answer is this, and the other is this. Because the diffusivity is of the same origin as the viscosity, but this, it depends on the scale. I mean, you know everything about turbulence, etc., what scale you are at.
That's the point. If you have some convective motion in the disk,
exactly. And so. And since here the it is MRI, so it is magnetic. It is magnetic, and so some there are explicit solutions. They say even if you impose such a structure. In the end, it evolves into just an unperturbed magnetic field. So, of course, this is very, very important, but this is one of those problems that, you know, this is very depressing, I think. It's
we started
the day with Lev saying, you know, this problem had not been solved for 40 years, and...
Whatever you have, you
regenerate.
Okay.
Okay. It'll work.